Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
What up? Welcome in. This is the Herd, wherever you may be and however you may be making this part of your day. Thanks so much. I'm Doug Gottlieb, in for Colin Cowherd, who is, look, he's been posting about it. He's getting a colonoscopy. Best wishes to our fearless leader. So 2 days ago, Aaron Rodgers met with the media. We've been reacting ever since. Today, he got a golf cart from David Bakhtiari, which I would expect lots of frankincense and myrrh to be left at his locker, as Aaron Rodgers now at least has one. What do they have on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, right? The Lifeline, right? You could phone a friend. Aaron Rodgers has lifelines, where he threw a lifeline to Randall Cobb to bring him back to Green Bay. Look, Rodgers was as forthcoming as any player has ever been when he had the media listen to him for like a 4-minute stretch and then answered questions. This was all from his perspective, but it felt like coming from a place of honesty. Now, there are some concessions in his contract that took place after Brian Gutekunst met with the media yesterday. He's supposed to be under contract for 3 years. 2022 is now the final year, so they voided that third year of the deal. Forfeiture of provisions were removed from the contract, preventing the Packers from pursuing a prorated portion of Aaron Rodgers' signing bonus. In other words, if he were to retire, they couldn't get the... because he showed up this year, hey, you show up. If you retire at the end of next year, we're not going to go after your signing bonus, even though you're under contract for one more year. And that would ensure the Packers either have to move on from him at the end of this season or sign him to an extension, or you could keep him on his current deal at a massive cap cost, and then potentially he walks away as a free agent in 2 years. If the Packers cut or traded him before June 1st next year, they would have $26.8 million in dead money on their cap, but gain a net savings of $19.2 million from overthecap.com. So, look, they've set this up in the contract previously. At the end of this year, it's a poop or get off the pot scenario. None of that has changed. None of it. Rodgers did contradict himself, right? Like, on one hand, he said, hey, when they came to meet with me, I didn't want to be, I didn't want to be a lame duck quarterback. So they just threw money at me, but they didn't want to extend me. And then after the draft, they wanted to extend me, but it was too late. Anybody who's been in a contract negotiation understands that sometimes that first contract offer can be so embarrassing that you won't take, or you'll carry that negative angst with you in future. Look, this happened. I can tell you without any question, happened to me when I was at the other place that Colin was at as well. It's what they would do, right? It's what all businesses do. Hey, we're going to give you a new deal. Check out this new deal. You're like, wait, I actually already make that if you take into account all the bonuses that I get. No, but this is a new guaranteed deal. I already have that. I deserve more than that. Then you go out, you get an offer for more than that. Then they come back and they're like, oh, no, we're going to offer you this. Many people carry with them kind of that baggage of the first offer. But here's where so on one hand, he was like, look, I want to be extended. On the other hand, he said it wasn't about money. Well, would you have been extended for $5 million, $10 million, $15 million? Of course not. I understand it's about security and about feeling. Look, it's the battle of wills. I want you to get rid of Jordan Love, or at least sign me to a contract where it makes it impossible for you to keep Jordan Love. That's what this season is. Right? Jordan Love's got to prove himself in practice, in training camp, and in preseason games, and if he gets in a game. And Aaron Rodgers got to prove himself in games. And if Aaron Rodgers is so good, then they'll ship out Jordan Love. It's unlikely, but it's possible. Just like Garoppolo. Garoppolo wasn't moved until the last possible moment, to the one season where you're like, you got to pay him, or, right? Because we know what happens in this part at the end of this year in a rookie contract. You got to decide, am I picking up the fifth-year option at the end of year three? And this is year two. That fifth-year option is no joke. But this is the part where I thought that Aaron Rodgers made the biggest mistake. Here's Rodgers. Okay, here's Rodgers wanting to help the team learn from their mistakes.
I wanted to help the organization maybe learn from them some of the mistakes in the past, in my opinion, about the way that some of the outgoing veterans were treated, and just the fact that we didn't retain a number of players that I felt like were core players to our foundation, our locker room, high character guys. I'm talking about Charles Woodson, Jordy Nelson, Julius Peppers, Clay Matthews, Randall Cobb, James Jones, John Kuhn, Brett Goode, TJ Lang, Brian Bulaga, Casey Hayward, Micah Hyde, guys who were, you know, exceptional players for us, but great locker room guys, high character guys. Many of them who weren't offered a contract at all, or were extremely lowballed, or were, you know, maybe in my opinion, not given the respect on the way out that guys of their status and stature and high character deserved.
All right. Obviously, Rodgers is still pissed about Jordy Nelson and Crumrow last year in preseason. And, you know, then he watches, a lot of this is jealousy of Tom Brady, right? You watch Tom Brady and he brings his guys, in Rob Gronkowski and Antonio Brown. And he's like, look what he had. Look, here's a couple of things. Aaron Rodgers started by saying, I want to help them with their mistakes. Were any of those players named, were they mistakes? Charles Woodson's an excellent player. He did have a Pro Bowl season afterwards, right? But like this is the business. The business is sometimes you're going to have to let a guy walk away because he wants to make too much money. Sometimes you're going to have to let a guy walk away because he doesn't have it anymore. And this idea of he didn't offer guys a contract, like, I want you to think about something. Guys making $10 million, and I talked to an NFL GM about this earlier in the week. Guys making $10 million. I said, there was a GM I talked to about it, a different player, used to play for his organization, wanted big money, left, and now signed a deal for, you know, 1/8 of what he was making his last year with the team. And I was like, why wouldn't you bring him back? He knows your team. He knows your system. Like, that never works. The cutting people's salary and have them in the locker room, they're pissed about their contract being cut every day. And they blame you for that every day. And then, oh yeah, by the way, when they have a good game, then they're mad at you because you undersold their value. It's a no-win. Plus, they don't like how they're looked at in the locker room as a guy who stayed to take less like that. There's no... Aaron Rodgers contradicted himself when he said, I wanted to come back because he got a chance to win a championship. Okay, so the same guy who made a lot of these hard decisions, or group that made these hard decisions that have proven to be, on many levels, the right decision for the football team, isn't the right decision for you personally because you liked those guys and they were great players in their prime. Like, everybody loves Clay Matthews. He was washed. Right? Jordy Nelson was washed. They just were. And here's the big part. Here's the part that people are missing the most. Like, why not just run it by him? Why not let him be part of the process? Aaron Rodgers is, if he's part of the process and they convince him, you know, hey, like, we got to let Jordy go. No, listen, Jordy may not have it for everybody else, but me and Jordy, we're locked in here. Is it just a different level there? His speed may not be what it used to be. He's coming off the ACL. Me and Jordy, it's a different connection. Okay? And they're like, look, it's just not going to work. If Jordy gets cut, okay, there's only two things that can happen and both are bad. Either Aaron Rodgers is still ticked at the front office for not listening to him. You listened to me, but you didn't validate what I said. You didn't hold on to him. Or Jordy Nelson says, like, dude, Aaron Rodgers, you couldn't have my back. You, no. I tried to save you. Like, no. The second one of your friends gets cut and you're seen as one of the bosses, guess what? They're not anymore. They're not your friends. You walk into the Saints, you walk into the Patriots, right? What does it say? Do your job. Did what he say make perfect sense? Like, look, I know this place. I know who works hard. I know who brings energy. I know, like, all of that stuff. Great. I have a podcast that's going to drop tomorrow. Okay. It's with a guy named Charles Jenkins. Charles is a spectacular player overseas. He was a second round pick out of Hofstra with the Golden State Warriors. During his first year with the Warriors, they had Monte Ellis and they had Steph Curry. Okay, and Steph had battled ankle injuries at that time in his career. And towards the end of the season, they traded away Monte Ellis. But if you go back and look for Andrew Bogut, and that changed their franchise forever. If you go back and look and ask anybody, and Chris Mullin told me this, like, look, we offered the Bucks. The Bucks were offered either Monte Ellis or Steph Curry for Andrew Bogut. You pick. Which proves two teams had it wrong. The Warriors didn't know what they had, and the Bucks didn't know what they could have had. So I asked Charles, like, did you know? And he's like, look, Steph was battling ankles, and it wasn't the perfect system for him, and Monte was Monte, and we weren't that good. He's like, but it was just bad. If you ask any of the guys, practice games, it just everything flowed better when it was Steph instead of Monte, and that doesn't mean that Monte Ellis can't play. He was a bucket. They're just different. So there is a value in the players know you can't really fool them. And being a quarterback and being there 17 years and being the leader of a franchise, but also kind of being a fly on the wall for all the other stuff and understanding defenses, like, he's a valuable guy. The problem with it is you become privy to conversations you don't need to be privy to. You get emotionally attached to players, as he clearly is. But the biggest thing is, eventually, one of those guys that you want, this is a guy we need to keep, you're going to be told no. How do you handle that? And how does the player who thought you had his back handle it? I can give you the answer. Poorly. That's the nature of the business. You know? Just the nature of the business. When things end, they almost always end poorly. That doesn't matter how great your run was at a business. Ask yourself, in terms of the businesses you used to work for. Oh, man, I used to be at sales at this company, and now I moved over to Stryker, and I'm killing it here, right? You may have left on the best of possible terms, but you leave. People get jealous of you leaving. It never really ends well, right? It just doesn't. Hey, we have people in my business got $10 million to walk away from a job, and they're still bitter about it. Like, that's what it is. I mean, why am I forgetting? Seahawks, safety, then was with the Ravens, and they cut him last year. But he was the one who, Earl Thomas, gave the finger, you know, he gave the finger to the Seahawks when he was carted off during his last game with the Seahawks, right? You remember that? Go back and look. Earl Thomas got every penny that he was in his contract. Every penny. How'd it end? Poorly. Always ends poorly. Brett Favre with the Packers. How'd that end? Poorly. He retired and came back three times. And it ends poorly. Like, that just doesn't, things don't end well. You don't want to be part of that. All right, coming up next. The Lakers have Russell Westbrook on their roster. Should they get ready to polish off number 18, a number 18 banner? We'll discuss next in The Herd.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Doug Gottlieb in for Colin. This is The Herd. Ooh, this is not good news. Not good news. Actually, you'll hear some of the news regarding Carson Wentz. Carson Wentz. You're like, Carson Wentz? Oh, he's with Indianapolis Colts. Some Carson Wentz news coming up for you in T-minus, what, 5 minutes? Less than 5 minutes. Eric Pinka is going to join us, capologist and NBA writer for Bleacher Report. We'll get his thoughts on the Westbrook trade. Speaking of the Westbrook trade, I thought it's interesting. You know, I thought it's interesting that the Lakers, okay, the Lakers, there's a story out today from the LA Times that Russell Westbrook and Anthony Davis, and LeBron James had dinner 2 weeks ago where they discussed this possible union and decided to check their egos at the door, right? Check their egos at the door. And all played together for one last championship run, and Russell Westbrook would come back to his hometown and try and live up to the legacy of the late, great, his hero, Kobe Bryant, and win a title. Sounds great. Sounds great. But I have to ask anybody, like, it's not like we don't have data on Russell Westbrook, you know? We have data. This is fourth team in 4 years. And while I value his ability to bring it every night, and I understand he will not be the first or second in terms of go-to options, which is going to be unique for him and a challenge for him, for a guy who's dominated the ball so much. My guess is that they kind of let Russ be Russ a ton in the regular season. And as they get closer to the regular season, they play through AD, they play through LeBron, and Russ gets a little bit of the third wheel. And in all candor, we still don't know what the Lakers are really going to look like, because that's three starters. They still have a lot more work to do, right? I can't see them. I mean, what do they do with Caruso, who's a free agent? Like, the re-signing, they got his bird rights. What do they do with Dennis Schroeder? They don't want anything to do with him, but they can sign and trade him. They have some future draft picks. They have some stuff they could move. Of course, they have Talen Horton Tucker, who they've been unwilling to part with, but for the right piece, they could part with him. It's still very much a work in progress of a roster. But I don't know what's been missing from the Lakers the past couple of years. Shooting. Right? Don't we have enough data to tell you that Russell Westbrook's not a good shooter? And actually not a high-level finisher in terms of the metrics of how he finishes at the rim. The Lakers themselves didn't guard him in the playoffs. Didn't guard him. Dared him to shoot. To much success. So, is there a way in which you can use him and he can be successful? Yes. Can he help you in the regular season? Sure. Do they all get along as men off the court? Of course, they're friends. And bringing Russell Westbrook back to his hometown of Los Angeles, a former MVP, seems like an absolute win. But are they actually a championship basketball team with that roster as opposed to where they were last night? Like, I like him better than Schroeder, but not that much. I don't know. Let's get to Lee DeLapp with the news.
No. Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
You mentioned it, Doug. There is worry in Indy. The Colts don't know yet, as Carson Wentz left Thursday's practice with a foot injury. He's going to undergo tests. But as of right now, Adam Schefter and Mike Wells of ESPN report that he is out indefinitely. Right now, it's going to be Jacob Eason, fourth-round pick from last year, and 2021 pick from the sixth round, Sam Ehlinger, as the next two quarterbacks up.
From Texas.
That's right.
Sam Ehlinger from Texas. Jacob Eason has all the physical tools, but has never been able to put it together. I mean, like, look, this story is really, really simple. Carson Wentz, yikes. That's like a can't get right. Anytime you hear out indefinitely, that's like, ooh, he broke his foot. Right? It's not a plantar. It was plantar fasciitis. They would go like, wow, he's got plantar fasciitis. They're going to monitor it. If they say out indefinitely, it means he broke his foot. And for a guy who's had a knee, and then it was a back in the playoffs, right?
Back vertebral fracture.
Yeah, fractures back, and now his foot is like a yikes.
He's had tears, ACL tears, LCL tears in his knees, chest rib fractures.
Like, chest rib fracture is not injury prone, right? And I got to know how this injury happened. Did somebody step on his foot? You know, or did he just break his foot? Like, this is a big thing with athletes that I know. Matt Holliday's a dear friend of mine. I'll never forget. He's like, yeah, my last year in St. Louis, people said I was supposedly injury prone. I got hit on the hand with a fastball and broke my thumb. Like, that's not being injury prone. That's getting hit by a fastball. Like, that's it. Like, that's the thing with Carson Wentz. Like, okay, if you get hit and you break a bone in your back, there's not a lot you can do there. Now, if you are just dropping back the pass and you plant and you're like, ah, my foot hurts, and you turn to break your foot, that's being injury prone. That's you didn't drink enough milk when you were a kid.
On to this, Doug. Brown Center and NFL Players Association President J.C. Treader. He has issue with the wristbands and vaccination protocols with the NFL, saying it's just kind of nonsensical idea. They say they need a differentiator between unvaccinated players and vaccinated players. We already have a differentiator. It's them wearing masks, you guys. No other sports leagues use any other sort of scarlet letter or helmet decal or wristband because they know it's not necessary and the teams know who's vaccinated and who is not vaccinated.
Who said this?
This is the NFL Players Association president and Brown Center, J.C. Treader.
Just get vaccinated and let's stop dealing with it.
By the way,
that's my response. You don't like wearing the bands? Get vaccinated. You don't like wearing masks? Get vaccinated. So it's okay. Like, look, it's pretty obvious. They're doing the most they can possibly do to force you to get vaccinated without forcing you to get vaccinated. They're making your life as cluttered as humanly possible.
And his coach, Kevin Stefanski, has his back. He says, it's not on our lanyard. It is on our lanyards. And when you're in the building, as you know, we're not dividing the team over this issue.
Yes, it's not divided. Get vaccinated. This is not rocket science. Okay? Get vaccinated. Like, they're trying to have a league. They don't want to have to go through all these health and safety protocols. They don't want to go through the quarantine thing. We don't want to do all this stuff. Just get vaccinated. And unless, like, look, if your doctor says you can't get it, but if your doctor says you can't get vaccinated, you know, you probably aren't playing in the NFL right now. Just a thought.
Lastly here, it's the Madden 22 ratings week. Everyone makes a big hullabaloo about it. And of course, once somebody who could have been Rookie of the Year last year, Justin Jefferson, has a lot to say. This is him with Gabe Henderson of Vikings.com earlier today.
So we were talking a little bit. Your Madden rating.
I don't even want to talk.
You're a little upset about that, huh?
100%, man. I play Madden. You know, I'm a big gamer, so I'm all into that. And after I seen, you know, the ratings and me not being in the top 10 in any of the ratings, that was crazy to me. But, I mean, that's just motivation.
Motivation for him here. Let me lay out the top 10 here. We got Devontae Adams, DeAndre Hopkins, Tyreek Hill, Stephon Diggs, Julio Jones at number 5, Michael Thomas at 6, Keenan Allen, Amari Cooper, Mike Evans, and Allen Robinson rounding out the top 10 with a 90 overall rating. Do you think Justin Jefferson in his sophomore year could have cracked that top 10?
Yeah. What the hell is Julio Jones doing in there? It's like J.J. Watt's a 95 overall. Like, stop it. Like, it takes the Madden folks like 2 years because they don't want to make J.J. Watt mad. They don't want Julio Jones was on the cover. They don't want both those cover guys. They don't want to diminish them in some way. Those guys, he's not a top 10 wide receiver anymore. Like, what are we doing? Julio's not a top 10 wide receiver. Everybody knows that. He was great at his peak. And now he's still really good. He's not, I mean, Justin Jefferson is the now. Julio Jones is the what was. Sorry, that's the reality of it. But this is also the reality. Like, are you really going to get mad about a video game? Like, really? And the things to get mad about, a video game is, I don't know, got to be about, like, in terms of like, disrespect. It's like, we're talking like, I don't know, in the let somebody else get mad about it for you.
Do you buy into its extra motivation for him?
No. Was he Rookie of the Year last year?
No, Justin Herbert was.
Okay. And your motivation should be to win games and to get paid. Madden doesn't really affect that. You know? I don't. If you spend time worrying about what a video game maker rates you, it just only proves that athletes have way too much time in their hands. Like, look, I understand. This is actually a real thing. The real story for people. I have a buddy who's a doctor now. And I'll never forget. He was playing in the CBA and he went to medical school and he's like, man, it is so hard to actually lock in and do all this study and stuff in class all day, because when you're playing professional basketball, you get up in the morning, you lift weights and work out, then you have a shooting workout or some sort of conditioning, then you come home, you sleep, you eat, you chill, you play video games, then you go and you practice at night, and then either you come home and get some dinner and go out, or you come home and you shut it down and watch a show or a movie, right? Like, we all think as athletes we work way harder than everybody else. We don't. We got a lot of time on our hands. During the short periods of time when we work. And you have an ability, Justin Jefferson has an ability that like 10 people on earth have in terms of getting open. But if you're, again, if you have enough time to worry about your Madden rating, you have too much time in your hands. Find another hobby. And that's Lead to Laugh with the News.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Lie News.
Let's welcome in Eric Pincus, who joins us. Of course, he does an excellent job as a capologist and NBA writer at Bleacher Report. Eric, let me, your immediate reaction when you heard it was Russell Westbrook heading to the Lakers.
I thought it was a bold move from the Lakers. I think there's going to be a lot of criticism on fit, and Russ is not a shooter, and you know, Russ is somebody who's going to ignore LeBron and try to score all the points in the most important moments. And he's going to, I don't buy into that. I think Russ is going to help them. He's extremely talented. I think he and AD and LeBron are on the same page. And I think let's put it this way. Buddy Hield is a better fit, but they'll get more wins with Russell Westbrook.
Okay. I always thought fit was the most important thing, but I don't think the who has the ball thing. He can't shoot, and he's had four knee surgeries. And did I mention he can't shoot? And they need shooting, right? Okay, yeah.
How did they shoot when they won the title? They shot terribly. They were the worst shooting team in the league when they won the title.
And they were unbelievable defensively. That's completely correct. It should be pointed out they didn't play the Clippers. It should be pointed out that the Warriors basically took that year off, right? Those things should be pointed out. And I think the road will be a little bit tougher this time, but it's an accurate point. They won because they were the best defensive team, and Anthony Davis and LeBron James carried them with just enough offense. It's totally fair. But, this is not the bubble. This is the NBA, and it's another older part that you're going to expect to play a lot. And what derailed them this season was injuries, right? Do we know if Russell's played every game, I think, three of the last 4 years, do we know if he'll have it in the tank or if he doesn't get, not going to break down again because he's in his mid to late 30s? All right, what about what's left? You're a capologist. It looks like they're capped out. So what can they actually do to build a team around these three guys?
Well, that's going to be a test of two people, really. Rob Pelinka, of course, who's the one who actually makes the deals, and probably LeBron to recruit free agents. And you can argue right now the Lakers only have three starters, obviously the three stars. And then after that, you've got Marc Gasol, who's older and can certainly start if they need him to, but probably not necessarily the guy you want to have playing a serious role. I mean, he could play a role, but not a major role, probably not a starter role. And they're likely to bring back Talen Horton Tucker, the young kid who's a really dynamic attacker and probably in the ilk of Russell Westbrook, an attacker who can't shoot. So that's not solving that issue. So you need a shooting guard who can really score. You either need a center or another wing. It depends on if you're going to play Anthony Davis at center. They just need some size, length, on the perimeter defensively, who can shoot. So 3-and-D guys. I think Otto Porter is probably the name that jumps out when it comes to free agency. They have about just under $6 million to spend on one player. And then after that, you're talking about minimum players. So probably bringing back guys like Wes Matthews, Markieff Morris, Jared Dudley for his leadership. And then it's who else? Who's out there who wants to come? You want a shooter? J.J. Redick, do you want to come and try to win a ring? I don't think they can get Danny Green at the minimum. But he's someone who will want to ring with them. And that you just got to go through who's out there. I don't think they have much to offer in trade. They have to decide on Alex Caruso. I'm not sure if he'll be back or not. I would like to see them bring back Alex Caruso. But again, he's not a shooter either. So your point on them needing shooting is accurate. I think getting Westbrook and having those three players as your primary drivers of the offense and surrounding them with shooters and defenders, I think that makes a lot of sense.
Okay. What was your... Was there a big takeaway from the draft? Like, did you... I love Cade Cunningham. I think he's eventually going to be a star in this league. But these guys continue to be younger and younger, and they went to rebuilding teams. The elite players, for the most part, went to rebuilding teams. Was there any big takeaway from the draft last night?
I mean, I thought teams, for the most part, drafted well. There were a few reaches, but by and large... I just want – you got to be patient. I mean, you touched on it. I mean, the Timberwolves have had number one picks for multiple years and haven't gone to the playoffs. Zion has been a tremendous young star. Pelicans haven't made the playoffs yet. So it's not like Cade Cunningham is going to turn the Pistons into a playoff team tomorrow. It's just not realistic. Jalen Green will probably be a great player for the Rockets, but it's going to take some time. So I think what was missing a little bit is, you know, teams like the Golden State Warriors, their picks came in a little bit lower than they had wanted when it came down to the final lottery at 7 and 14. I think that was something we were looking at to see, can they make some blockbuster trade to rejuvenate the Warriors instead of adding more kids. So I didn't see anything in the actual draft that changes the landscape of the NBA, but of course we had the bigger news, which was the Lakers, and I don't know how much that changes things anyway, in that they were already one of the favorites to at least compete for a championship, or at least threaten in the West. So I'm not sure we saw a major shakeup in the NBA.
Have you seen this stuff going on in Brooklyn with Kyrie, where there's the weird tweeting back and forth between Kyrie and KD? Then you couple it with he fired Roc Nation. That's his second agent he's fired in the last 2 years. And then he posted that his new shoes that Nike is releasing are trash and he had nothing to do with them. Like, I get you can't really figure out Kyrie, but is there something up there in Brooklyn we should pay more attention to?
Well, I'll say that Kyrie is a very different kind of human being. And there's some beauty and genius there, but there are some perplexing qualities as well. I mean, he's putting his money into providing water and resources into an African country, or he's tweeting and saying crazy things about this, that, and the other thing. I'm trying to take him as an overall person and not judge him by how I would everybody else. If he's there and he's playing and he's competing, I don't have a problem with him. He did take some breaks throughout. Were they mental health breaks? Were they just time off? How much should we say that's not the right thing? I think we're starting to understand a little bit that you need to allow for people to be human beings. I think Kyrie is odd, and in a way it could hurt the Nets' chances of closing this thing out if they can't really rely on Kyrie. But at the same time, he was there in the playoffs. He was great in the playoffs. And if Kevin Durant has, a slightly smaller shoe, they probably win a title.
Yep. Or if he was healthy, they probably win a title. All right, so Chris Paul isn't going to the Lakers. Is he going back to Phoenix?
I think that he's going back to Phoenix. So if you rewind... I had reported that I expect Chris Paul to opt out and to look for $100 million over 3 years. So he's got an option for $44 million, but it makes sense for him to opt out if he can get $100 over three. It's more money. He'll make less in that first year, but it's a bigger deal overall. And then the Suns went on to get to the finals. So that sort of changed the picture. And the issue in Phoenix is that they've got to pay DeAndre Ayton. He's looking for max money. They got to pay Bridges, who's probably at least 20, if not 23, $25 million a year. And they're already paying Booker. And so if you pay Chris that kind of money long term, they're going to be in the tax. Now, my argument is it's not an issue in year one, because the extensions wouldn't kick in. It'd be an issue in year two. So yes, tax in year two. And by year three, it's not that hard to move a contract. And in my mind, you could probably move Chris at that point if you had to. So if I'm Robert Sarver, the owner of the Suns, I'm getting it done. But there was, I forget who he spoke to. I think it was Gambo on the radio, I believe.
John Gambadoro.
Yes. Thank you. Sarver said something all that was... It wasn't like a smoking gun or anything, but it was very wishy-washy about keeping Chris. It was kind of like, yeah, well, you know, we'll do our best. It just didn't come across. All he had to say, like the right thing to say was, we hope Chris is with the organization for a long time. Right. That leaves you blameless. You try, you do it, but it was so wishy-washy. It just left a seed of doubt. And so when I look around the landscape of the NBA, I look over at the Knicks. You've got Leon Rose, who used to represent Chris Paul with CAA. There are a lot of CAA ties. Chris is still with CAA. There's a relationship there. And the Knicks they have the money. They're a team that has been really lousy for a really long time. And then this last year, they finally took that big jump, got into the playoffs. And we've seen what happens the last few years when you add Chris Paul to a good team. He elevates them to be immediately a borderline great team. You know, we could debate, but you know, obviously the Suns a great team. And so I think he makes a ton of sense for the Knicks. And so he has a landing spot if it doesn't work out with Phoenix. I still think Phoenix should sign him, pay him that money, make it happen, worry about the problems with tax down the road. I think it's a no-brainer, but teams do things sometimes that perplex me, and they're not all taking my calls, so we'll see what he does.
Last thing, really quickly. It doesn't appear they're going to trade Damian Lillard yet, so they're going to try and add some pieces to try and get him to stay. What can they add?
That's a tough one. So they don't have much. They have Norman Powell, who's a free agent, and they probably need to overpay to keep him. He's got so much leverage because they can't afford to go backwards, right? They traded Gary Trent for him. They haven't drafted especially well, but one of their better picks was Trent. And so to lose Trent for nothing, just have Powell for 5 minutes, doesn't make sense. And so Powell can really get some money out of that situation. And then everyone in the league knows that they're trying to salvage the Dame thing. So let's say you're the Sixers and you want Damian Lillard, and the Blazers are calling up offering CJ McCollum for Ben Simmons. Well, no, I mean, you don't want to help them. You don't want to give them, who's to say Simmons keeps Lillard? Let's say he was the key. Why are you going to offer him to the Blazers to help them solve their Damian Lillard situation when you want them to have that kind of failure where they have to move Lillard? So I think teams are going to squeeze the Blazers, but that doesn't mean that their top executive, Neil Olshey, can't find something. It's just they don't have a lot of assets. They don't have a lot of picks to offer. They don't have a lot of young players that are really coveted. They're in a very difficult spot, but we've seen stranger things, and teams sometimes find a way out. They find some player that is better than everyone thought, but I'm not entirely optimistic on the Blazers solving this issue. I think ultimately the result is going to be Dame is going to ask out, and they're going to have to accommodate on some level. I just don't know when that'll be.
Eric Pincus. Eric, great stuff, man. Look forward to reading your next piece in Bleacher Report. Appreciate you being our guest on Fox Sports Radio.
All right, anytime. Thanks for having me.
All right, what was a rumor a week ago is official now. But what does it do to the sport? We discuss next in The Herd.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Hey, it's me, Rob Parker. Check out my weekly MLB podcast, Inside the Parker, for 22 minutes of piping hot baseball talk featuring the biggest names and newsmakers in the sport. Whether you believe in analytics or the eye test, we've got all the bases covered. New episodes drop every Thursday, so do yourself a favor and listen to Inside the Parker with Rob Parker on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcast.
This is The Herd, Fox Sports Radio, the iHeartRadio app. So it's officially official. Texas and Oklahoma are going to the SEC. Now, what I believe about Oklahoma, right? The Benedict Arnold of college sports, what they did to Oklahoma State is wrong. It's wrong. And it's a really hard one for Oklahoma State in the future where, like, do you play them? You played them every year for over 100 years since 1910. You know, you fill up your stadium, you fill up your coffers, and, you know, it's a rivalry across all sports. Or do you say, you know, you guys left us in the lurch, potentially ruining our athletic programs. Like, we're supposed to be, you know, we're not on the same team, but we're supposed to be brothers here, right? Like, that's not right. There's no one can try and explain away that, oh, it's right. It's not right. So I'm thinking about this, but I mean, I have to admit, like, it's going to be an amazing football league. And what happens when you see this sort of dramatic change, right? You take the two most powerful entities in the Big 12. Like, the crazy part about it is, so Bob Stoops is doing Big Noon Kickoff, right? Urban Meyer went back to coaching. Bob Stoops is now taking his seat. I think he'll be great. But he does realize that seat, I mean, only for a year, right? Because the Big 12, however it reconfigures itself, becomes a different league. Like, my guess is they're going to keep the name and the schools long enough so that they collect the checks from Texas and Oklahoma. They're going to play in the SEC next year. Like, we all know how this goes. This is just posturing, right? Oklahoma and Texas saying, like, hey, we're in 2025. And the league saying, you know, if you leave before, like, they're going to get a check. Will it be every penny owed? I don't know. That's, again, probably a negotiation. But, like, all of a sudden now, are we going to have four leagues? Are we going to have three? Clemson and Florida State, who were previously blocked from joining the league, do they want to join the league? And if so, how do we look at the records of schools? If you're going to play conference foes and they're the type of conference foes we could see, like, how do you adjust to, hey, this team has four losses, but they play in the SEC, as opposed to everybody else has, like, one loss? A dramatic change in the landscape of college athletics, and now it becomes official earlier today. The Lakers have decided to go with their own big three. But will it work? I'll tell you next. I'm Doug Gottlieb. This is The Herd.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.